Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right, we are back to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks. And I also realized, I was just watching the intro, and you can tell it's also been a few weeks as well, because the intro and all the pictures have got me like clean shaven on the sides like this. And now I'm starting to grow these out. I'm in rebellious mode. So these are all growing out. So very soon I'm going to be back to like this big, bushy, hairy thing again.
That is so funny. I don't have the hair problem, but I have maybe the padding problem from the holidays.
No. I'm down already. Which is probably as good and bad. I cut out like almost all the alcohol, most of the snacks after 9:30, and a bunch of other things, and I'm down 8 pounds since the 1st of January.
Oh, well done. Yeah, I need to catch up. catch up on cutting, because let me tell you.
Yeah, it's kind of where my head's at. It's like it's one of the things that was kind of like bugging me. I put a whole bunch of like New Year's resolution stuff out, which I rarely do, but I'm like, you know, I'm going to put some stuff out. Where am I? What am I feeling? Would you not slobber on my iPad? Where am I? What am I feeling? And stuff like that. And one of them was the weight side of it. There's a few other things out there as well. And I'm like, you know, I know how to do it. I did it, 2 years ago, and I put it all over LinkedIn.
Oh, my goodness. Well, tell me, it's been 2-3 weeks about, right?
Three, I think. I want to say we took 3 weeks. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. We took a few weeks.
Yeah, we took a few weeks to kind of recharge, regroup, rest and relaxation. But it was hard for the both of us that end of the year. I mean, not only the two of us, a lot of people have been going through tough times wrapping up 2022. But how are you doing? Tell me a little bit about the end of your year. Quick recap. What's going on in your world? Because this is the first time. I mean, we've chatted literally. We always join 10 to 15 minutes early to kind of get things together. But we didn't talk for almost a month. Tell me.
We haven't really talked much. No, not too much. You know, it is what it is. I mean, end of year was busy. Wrapping up a lot of the stuff, you know, the CISO role of Boom obviously takes priority and has a lot of stuff going on. We made an announcement. We finally stuck our heads up and said, hey, this is what we're doing from an engine standpoint, which again is good. There's some good conversations on that. There's some good logic and reasons why and wherefores. There's obviously always detractors on the whole thing. But that, again, adds more profile, more targets, more people, and all the other stuff. So there's definitely an increase in, like, intelligence and threat intel and stuff that you need to be doing behind the scenes before that happens. End of year typically means, hey, where did we finish the year from a compliance, a regulatory, and awareness training, and a few other things? So, you know, there's some good and some bad in there. A little bit of introspective stuff has happened in the last couple of weeks. It's a message I sent out. I won't read the whole message, but it was definitely one of those things. Starting a Boom was interesting, because if you break down a CISO role, you break down any role, typically you've got the work. Why are you being brought into an organization? So it's the work to be done. It's the role. You know, what's the role you're being brought in for? There's a conversation over the title. So what's the title of the, and then there's the position. And I didn't and hadn't given much thought to the position. And it's one of those really weird things. A CISO is not, you know, you sometimes have the CISO as all throughout the organization. And I'm realizing where we're at the moment might not necessarily be the ideal person, because the work is great. You know, it's kind of fun. Hopefully I'm getting my shit done, all this kind of good stuff. The role of CISO, very easy. Protect and do everything you can on that one. The title CISO, kind of cool. Nice role. Nice title. But I hadn't thought about it until being here and experiencing some stuff in the last couple of months. It's that position. And you tend to forget it. Everybody goes, oh, it's a C-suite job, you know, chief information. And then you're like, oh, wow, you know, or no. Because unlike a CEO or a CFO or a C-something, where those roles and those titles and the position is the top of the company, what seems to happen in some instances, and what I feel like there's a little bit of stuff going on at the moment, is the CISO role is kind of stuffed down into the organization a bit. And some people will work with you because you've got the charisma and you've got the what, and you're, because you're doing the work and you've got the role. Some people will work with you because of the title, and others, unfortunately, won't work with you because your position. And a little bit of an introspective thought on that one as to how effective a CISO who is basically buried in the organization is able to be if you run into those positional type of individuals. And I'm so, yeah, it's been a bit of an interesting, and then, you know, life itself has been interesting. So the upside of having the time, the downtime, was also being able to actually sit down and list out a lot of things. Not able to solve most of them at the moment, but at least list them. So yeah, that's been my last couple of weeks. How about you?
First of all, I love that. I mean, I want to dig into a lot of it. We will likely have to do some other sessions regarding what you spoke about, but
yeah.
I love it. Thank you for sharing. I've been well. It was a hard end of the year in that there was a lot of internal shift on my end, moving from in-house marketer to solopreneur or entrepreneur now that the team is growing. You know, moving from strictly demand gen revenue marketing to CEO, CFO, COO, sales. It's just like, wow. So I'm learning a lot and I'm loving it. And thankfully I have the audience and the followers and the fans and the CISO faculty, the practitioner faculty to help me navigate these waters. So I love that. I launched Audience First literally in Q4. So it's like, okay, well, I don't have a job now and I need steady income and it's Q4 and budgets are all, you know, used up. So how do I get in and close some clients? So that was a little scary, but, you know, knock on wood, it's been great. And it's been a strong end of the year. There's a lot of great stuff going to happen on the Audience First side with us and with Dimitri and with the other CISO faculty that we have coming on board. New services, new pods, new content, new events. We're going to be at events this year, which is going to be really, really great. So, you know, I'm blessed. I can't complain. It's hard. I'm stressed, but I have a great group of friendlies that I can lean on. So thank you, Chris, for wrapping up 22 with such grace and success, given some of the challenges. And yeah, I think it was nice. It was nice to work with you in 22, and I'm really excited for 23.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, it's ironic, isn't it? You have started up and are kicking ass on the Audience First, and, you know, I think one of those other things I end up doing at the end of the year is we put a pin in Hillbilly Hit Squad. So
yeah,
right. Closed down. You know, end of the year we closed Hillbilly Hit Squad down, and it's, I mean, we had a good, you know, we had six, seven years we ran that for, a couple of years behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and then several years up front. But when you step away, as you're seeing, when you're the linchpin or the integral part of an organization, and in my case, I stepped away to obviously work at Boom and do some other things, it's hard to see it carry on sometimes. And at some point, you just got to sit down and go, and we're done. So yeah, mm-hmm. The upside is I'm able to take a little bit more time, I think, to focus on other things, which is kind of nice. But actually, some of it's focus on me, to be honest, and get some of my stuff sorted, but also be able to take a step back and kind of go, what do I want? Where do I want to focus my time?
Right, right. Sometimes it's a blessing. And, you know, as I stated on the previous episodes and personally between us, you have a support system here on LinkedIn and via WhatsApp and on the phone, so you know where to find me.
And a lot of folks have said that. My challenge, honestly, is just being able to pick up the phone. I still haven't figured that one out yet, so we'll get there. I'll figure it out.
Well, we might fly out and knock, bang down your door and knock on the door and make it happen.
That I can deal with. That I can deal with.
All right. So before we get into the juicy stuff, some housekeeping items for us here on the show, not just for me and you, Chris, but for the audience and those listening in today. If there are connectivity issues that's happened in the last couple sessions, we are over on YouTube. We're streaming on YouTube Live. So I dropped that link in the comments here. That I think works pretty well for everybody based on the feedback from last time. If you have questions for us, please drop them in the comments. We'll happily answer those towards the end of the session. We'll bring you on. Or if you prefer to stay behind the scenes, I can ask that question for you and then we can answer it for you as well. Towards the end of the session. Whoop.
That was me. I just put LinkedIn Live up. I'm like, oh, cool. I can see LinkedIn Live.
I sound weird. Ooh. Is that what I sound like?
No.
Most importantly, I mean, we're starting a new year. We always want to get better. We want to know, to the audience listening in, we want to know what and how we can do better for you. So for the audience in this forum, shoot us a message. If there are ideas that you think would be valuable for you, let us know. We want to hear feedback, as always, on how we can improve. Lastly, if you are a victim of a crappy sales or marketing message, please share your experience with us and email me at danny@wtfdidijustread.com. We will happily accept all and see how we can flip the script on that. So, all right, a lot of housekeeping items checked off. Shall we start the teardown, Sir Robert? Yeah. All right.
Let's do the welcome to the new year teardown. Oh my giddy, I'm actually just bringing it up. Bless. So, I did a reset on my inbox. I still have all of 2022s, but I hit the reset on the inbox. I'm like, all right, I'm going to harvest them all, put them in their own little folder, and we'll start afresh for 2023. And I'm like, I got a couple of days. It'll be good. It'll be no, bad. January the first couple crept in. Now, I wasn't really paying a huge amount of attention. January the 2nd comes marching on, which I think was a Monday. I think we had a soft Monday or Tuesday, whatever the heck it was. We did a soft start on like Monday of the new year and just gently eased in. But by January the 2nd, the world was in full force. Oh my gosh. This is always the interesting one. All right, so I'm actually going to read this one out live, relatively live. I don't think there's, well, I'll take out all the bits that I don't want to actually embarrass the person in. Hi, Chris. It's been interesting how many vendors have gone Happy New Year and all this stuff, which is always interesting to me because, again, you're making an assumption that I celebrate the standard Roman, Georgian, normal 12-month year. I didn't realize. Side scroll moment for a second, and we won't scroll for too long. There was a piece in the BBC. Thank goodness for the BBC. There was a piece in the BBC that actually went through how many different countries work in different calendars and how many of those countries also in some countries operate two different sets of calendars. First one, one of the biggest ones was out in the Far East, where they're running like two different calendars and they also have to keep an eye on our calendar system. It was, obviously Israel's another different one as well with the different holidays and everything else, but then you get it's a shit show.
Living in Israel, I don't even know what day it is. Anyway, truth.
Yes. All right. So, hi, Chris. I'm sure that you're always looking for ways to improve your organization's functions, cybersecurity posture, and control costs. And I believe we can help. Company provides multi-cloud management platform called Catapult. Somebody can Google it, I'm sure. We believe our product excels in helping organizations like yours to audit their cloud cybersecurity postures, standardize and automate IT functions, monitor and manage cloud computer resource utilizations, and more. Full stop. And since Catapult can perform functions in an automated fashion, it can instantly notify key staff members when issues arrive. Catapult provides a number of basic audits and products as flexible customization to its core, so users can easily customize it, perform any desired cybersecurity checks through the cloud, perform command line, and aggregate Azure results. And a full stop I found again. The goal is to provide continual monitoring to the cybersecurity posture of your cloud resource. WRT, I thought it was WTF industry, whatever WRT industry and government standards. Catapult supports multiple clouds, including Amazon, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud Platforms, and will soon fully support Oracle Cloud. Find out more at insert company name and schedule a discovery call. Insert anything. I'd appreciate the opportunity to speak with you so we can find out how Catapult might be able to help provide your organization to be more successful and cost efficient. Do you have 20 to 30 minutes to speak in the next week? Kill you. Anyway, thanks. And then him and person and alert and don't want to hear from me, you can unsubscribe. We did a teardown on this one. As Danny is well aware, this came in on the seg and it was like the first one that came in. And I was feeling relatively gracious-ish. So we did a teardown on this one. And I mean, there's so much on this. This is like a wrap up of 2022, here's 10 things just to go off of on for 2023. Oh, with regards to, thank you, Avisha. Avisha, yeah. With regards, hang on, no. So that doesn't make. Maybe it makes sense. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Anyway, yeah. So aside from the sentence structure and the fact I had to pause for oxygen like four times throughout the whole I mean, there were five key things we picked up on this mm-hmm. one. Number one, baseline business assumptions. Again, I know from sales and marketing side that they have to try to get people interested in something. So you get this generic blast out. We'll talk about the difference between quality and quantity in a minute. But I think that the challenge on this one, basic assumption, you're assuming that I'm not already doing some of this. You're making an assumption that I have no clue what's going on in my cloud. I'm not already doing analysis to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Number two, no recon, like zero. Bugger all ski recon. If anybody has an ounce of sense and decides to ChatGPT email you, no shit. That one's going to be a scary one, to be honest. But again, no recon. So no initial analysis to go, hey, number one, who is this company I'm hitting? Number two, who is this person I'm hitting? Number three, what can I actually find out about them on this other one? Number three, links and discovery call. I'm a CISO. I'm a security person. I don't click links. We just don't click links. We might hover over links. We might go Google ourselves what's going on, but I'm not going to click a link in your sodding email. Shit's not going to happen. It just isn't. And not only that, why the hell would I spend 20, 30 minutes trying to bounce my way through your calendar and my calendar to find a conversation? I don't even know who the hell you are. You know, this is back to that breaking bread with somebody. And yes, there are ways to do it. This isn't. And then back to this opt-out versus opt-in shenanigans. And aside from the assumption, there's free time to... This is the beginning of January. This is when, like, the last quarter that we've had for planning as to what the heck we're going to do in this 2023 period, all of a sudden, that starts. You know, everybody's like, oh, in 2023, we're going to do... And here's our business plan, and it is... And then 23 hits and it's like, and we're off to the races because none of us want to be doing it in the 12th month of the year. We'd all like to get stuff done. So this first month of the year, aside from the fact that the organization's moving buildings and airplanes and all sorts of other things, yeah, it's a little busy because, you know, we're doing budgeting and all this stuff. So now the upside, there were actually two upsides on this email. Upside number one, to give them credit, apart from WRT, which I actually didn't figure out, there were almost no acronyms. I will actually give a lot of credit on this one because as many of you know, there are just too many gosh darn little bloody acronyms in this planet, no mankind. And the other thing I actually appreciated on this one, despite the fact they said we work with all these cloud environments, I didn't get the plethora of and we work with companies like yours, and here they all are. And by the way, here's the list of companies you can break into. So there were two positives on that one. But yeah, it was definitely outweighed by the half a dozen negatives of like what the smeg was going on. As you read, I know it's with regards to, but I didn't. Why would you even do that? Why? I'm trying to read. Where's the sentence? There it is. The goal is to provide continuous monitoring. The goal is to provide continuous monitoring the cybersecurity posture of your cloud resources with regards to industry and government standards.
Of all the things they used.
I have to monitor the standards. No. I'm Monica because I don't want some ugly ask attacker inside my network. I care about standards and compliance, but that's not why we monitor. If you think I'm monitoring just to put a tick in the box, you really haven't done your recon on your end. Yeah. Actually, that should be number six, shouldn't it? All right. So, yeah, there we go. Tear down.
Short buildup. We talked about shortly what the alternatives are, but what would have worked kind of more on a more positive note? We know what's working well. We know what was okay. No use of acronyms, but kind of... If you're coming in at the beginning of the year, because this is what triggered me when you sent me that message. You said, assuming there is free time to talk the first week of January. So how would you approach a buyer in the new year? I mean, I never send emails in the first week because it's probably just loads of emails and it'll get lost in the noise.
And I think that's the big one is like, the first and foremost, I think there's that assumption, which is, hey, you'll have time to talk with me. No, I'm not going to have time to talk with you. I mean, my calendar's pretty busy for a while. We're working, you know, to Jeff's credit, who's one of the crew inside Boom, we were working yesterday. We're doing Sunday sprints because we're so busy, and we've also got to move location. So it's busy. Now, somebody wouldn't necessarily know that. That's not public knowledge. Yeah, I mean, it's not public knowledge, but it's not out there going, hey, we're moving to a bigger HQ because we're kicking ass. I think first and foremost, it's the assumptions, you know, and it's both the business assumption, the cloud assumption, and the assumption that I've got time to catch up with somebody in the first couple of weeks. I think first and foremost, you hit it right, which is why the heck are you sending messages in the first week? Or even if you are going to send something, number one, you keep it shorter. You know, to somebody made somebody LinkedIn user said made a good point, which is good grief, you're reading a novel. No, I'm just reading somebody's intro email. Keep it shorter. I think this is where that industry standard comes in. And it's terrible because it's a human standard, especially in the Americas. You got me for 15 seconds, if you're lucky. If you can't get your point across in 15 seconds, then you got problems. And it comes to that sentence structure as well. Charles, who's the CIO over at Boom, says it right. You know, everybody reads the first sentence, or almost everybody reads the first sentence. I think it was like 80% read the second and like 30 or 50% read the third sentence. So if your first sentence is off-putting, in this case, I'm sure you're always looking for ways to improve your organization's function, cybersecurity, process, and control, because I believe we can help. I kid you not. That's the punctuation. If that first sentence is off-putting, the chance of me reading the rest of it for any logical reason other than to shoot it down, which is why we're doing it, you've lost me. If that first sentence was like, hey, hope you're doing okay, know it's busy this week, pretty much so figuring that data's on the top of your mind like it is every other bloody leadership position, got some things you might want to consider as the next couple of weeks unfold. That's a totally different conversation. That's a conversation that says, hey, I acknowledge the fact you're probably busy. I also acknowledge the fact that I know enough about this industry to know that data's at top of mind, and data's at top of mind for every single one of us, because we've kind of got a handle on our users. We kind of got a handle on the training. We kind of got a handle on the compliance regulatory stuff. Most of us, if we're doing our fucking jobs properly, we've got a handle on other things. The biggest thing that we're having a problem getting our hands around is data, the stuff itself that we're meant to be protecting. And so that's a concern for 2,500 different reasons, depending upon how, what, when, why, where your data is. But at least acknowledging the simple thing like, hey, welcome to 2023. Data's probably close to top of mind. Got a couple of things you might want to take a poke at when you have time.
There you go.
That's something I'm likely to actually go, huh, interesting. And actually, rather than harvest it into the spam, which this ended up anywhere, I'd harvest it into a to be looked at folder.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Short and to the point. We always advocate for that.
And that's it, you know. And it's, I understand that you want to also say, hey, here's what we're up to. But you've got three, I mean, they're not long paragraphs. You've got three paragraphs saying the same thing, pretty much. The company provides multi-cloud management, blah, 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 blah. You're trying to sell me on your product in a first email. You're trying to sell me on the customer. I mean, you've basically put all the buzzwords in there to try to actually get me to focus on the fact that the product and the this and the support and everything else. Don't do this. Is a first email. This all you gotta honestly, hey, figuring the data is a bit of a shit show this coming year. Got a couple of things for you. If you got 10 minutes to have a conversation in the next few weeks, love to catch up. You can put a little bit more into it than that, but not much more.
All right, well, we have some questions. I want to bring on some new guests that have not been on the show yet. We have George in the house. George has some questions about predictions, but I will let him ask you, Chris. Here we go.
Go
Let's bring on George.
for it.
George.
Hey. How you doing? Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New
Yeah, you
Year.
too, sir.
Thanks, Chris, and thanks, Danny, for what you do. So my question is that this certainly seems to be the time of year where there's a lot of predictions and prognosticators talking about trends and what's happening in 2023. And
Right.
I'd really like to just get your perspective as a practitioner. You know, what do you see as some of the key trends? I mean, I've seen things anywhere from that the extortion rates in cyber are going to continue, ransomware. I've seen some reports and statistics that, you know, year over year that they've decreased, but in terms of impact and how they've affected companies and how they've negatively affected reputation, brand, as well as revenue, certainly, you know, has continued to rise. And I've seen, you know, numbers that are going to be not only in the millions into the billions and rapidly approaching the trillion. So really, I'm interested in, as a person that lives, breathes, eats, and provides, you know, expertise to the marketplace and the community, what are your thoughts about the trends?
So it's funny. I think people have. So I got asked a couple of times about what my first, and this was, I think it was back in like September, October time frame. Someone's like, "Oh, how's 2023 look?" And I'm like, "Same shit, more painful." And it's a sarcastic answer to it, but the more in-depth thing is, and I think you've hit the nail on the head perfectly, which is, as humans, and we have to take it away from tech. Let's take it away from tech for the moment. Okay, as humans, we don't learn, unfortunately, we don't learn until something bad happens. For the most part, it's very rare you find an organization full of humans that takes a proactive approach until something's happened. So the mentality of same shit, different year, unfortunately, does roll over, which is you're gonna have a lot of people go, oh, it's so terrible to see all these people have ransomware attacks. We should probably do something about it, tick in the box. Yeah, we're working on it. You know, compliance allows you to be working on something. So a lot of organizations are gonna be like, yeah, we'll get to it. Right up to the point, the moment after ransomware note comes in, at which point, like, oh, we should have got to that because all the systems have gone dark. Very rarely do you find organizations are actually taking a much, much more proactive approach. There are definitely some which are going, okay, where are our key assets? And I think you're finding a lot of us at the CISO level are trying to find more efficient ways of doing it. I don't need to bring in one of the big four to help me understand what could kill my company, ransomware or similar. If I haven't sat down with my key leadership across the organization and spent 10 minutes asking them what's going to kill them, then I failed as a leader. And so with that, now I can kind of go, where's the key assets? Where are the key data sets? How have we managed to do backups and retention? So data, and we kind of alluded to when we were breaking this thing down, data's becoming, has become, and still is going to be even more and more and more so that key element of how the heck do we wrap our hands around it? What can we've kind of figured out that we should encrypt when it's at rest. A lot of people still don't do that, despite the fact there's an easy button on pretty much every single platform to do it. We figured out that we probably should actually encrypt in transit, and a lot of it still hasn't. The biggest one that seems to be coming up is how do I encrypt when I'm using it? So if I'm providing that data to somebody, like a perfect example, Boom's an easy example. We're building airplanes. Well, guess what? We don't build it on our own. We build it with thousands of partners. How do I get that data to them? And we both work on that data in a way that safeguards the data. So that data in use is going to become more and more of a focus of like, how do we do it in a safe and in as safe and secure manner as possible? So that's one. Data is the big one. And be it care, feed, management, love, cuddling the data, or be it how do we prevent somebody ransomwaring the snot out of it? I'd argue we have the answers. We just haven't implemented them because it hasn't been made painful enough, which comes to your point. Ransomware is increasing, not necessarily the number of attacks, but definitely the focus of attacks. We're obviously starting to see more and more hits against critical infrastructure. We're still seeing a ton of hits against soft targets, be it a school, be it a charity, be it small and medium businesses. I mean, and it sucks because as an industry, we don't focus on those, not as much as we should do. I mean, there are some companies that do, but not as much as we should do.
I guess as a follow-on question, and also as a practitioner, certainly it's been spoken about the impact of the supply chain and the vulnerability of supply chain and organizations. Yeah. And, you know, we have an entire industry of tools, services that, you know, lay claim to being able to satisfy the requirements there. But in my own opinion, that we still have a long way to go. You know, again, as a CISO, how would you, if you were serving on behalf of a company in the virtual CISO capacity, mm-hmm. you know, how would you envision that in terms of things that could be done from a supply chain perspective? Making that more robust, more resilient.
So ironically, we're in the middle. That's one of our projects for 23, and it has been for partly for 22, but for 23 is, let's say the three of us are working on a project. How do we exchange data efficiently? Do we still use a good old SFTP server to move data around? Do we use more of a data vaulting type solution? In other words, I'll use Dropbox. Dropbox is not a data vault, caveat in there first and foremost, but we use a Dropbox type solution where we can all come in securely. We can all rummage around and work on the solution securely. We can also take things out of it, put things in it and do it more effectively, but in a managed environment. You know, we've got the cloud environments. You've got Amazon, AWS, and everybody else has some elements of that. But they don't have expiry capabilities. They don't have an easy way to manage, mitigate, do change control, do version controlling, and all these other things that we, I know, are looking for very, very effectively. We have a couple of solutions that we're looking at for doing that. But for me, the ability to communicate with my supply chain securely, safely, and effectively is probably key. The next thing that comes to that is, what are the risks of my supply chain? So now I'm looking at intelligence. I mean, I can hand you a self-assessment questionnaire, and I have to have a level of trust that that questionnaire is going to get filled out accurately, properly. Nobody's going to lie on the stupid thing because nobody ever lies on a compliance form, of course, and all this other shit. Or I can rely on some kind of intelligence. So, and I can go out there and go, hey, we have threat intelligence looking at us. Now let's take a look at the supply chain. If I'm bringing Danny on as a supplier, what can I find out about Danny, her organizations, what passwords are already in the background, what data is in there very quickly, very effectively, very efficiently, so that I can put a risk with that supply chain. I can then take that back to the business and go, hey, look, I know you want to work with Danny, but understand in doing so, we might want to make sure that we don't share passwords, we don't share codes, we don't do this, or if we do, we do it inside a more controlled environment, data vault. So I think those are the two big things with the supply chain. But to add to that point, it also behooves, this is something that I think a lot of organizations are going to have to realize. In order to be able to do this, it's communication. We're back to the human aspect. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go off and let's say you want to build another location, that's going to take 20 suppliers. But if you didn't tell your security guy that you were going to go off and do that, the first I know about it is when I see my data wandering off to another location because for 25 different reasons. So the communication between the teams is key and critical. Hey, I want to send my data to a supplier in the Middle East. Let's take a look at that for a second. What are the risks? What are the issues? What are the challenges? What's the compliance? Are you, well, you know, if those conversations have not happened before you've made a business decision that you want to do that, then I'm on the back foot all the time. So I think that intercommunication between departments is has to be much more effective and efficient than it is. So 2023, honestly, I think is another year when CISO security has got to integrate itself more and more and more and more so with the business.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate it.
No, totally. I love the from the question. I mean, seriously, there's a ton more. One of the things that pisses me off, again, you come into an organization, everybody's like, oh, what are you going to buy first? I'm like, nothing. Because I don't even know what the hell you have.
Right.
You know, that consolidation thing's got to come into it as well. Is, you know, we ran into this, not necessarily a boom, but somebody else I was keeping a half an eye on. They wanted to go out and buy another bloody assessment tool. I'm like, why? Number one, there's free shit out there. Number two, you're already running this. Number three, you're going to, you know, I think we're running Qualys or something. I'm like, why isn't that doing it for you? Well, I'm like, have y'all just not spent enough time working with it? Didn't you buy some training to go with it? You know, didn't you buy professional services to install it properly? Or is it that next shiny toy that you saw at RSA or Black Hat has gotten you all googly-eyed? You know, use the freaking tools that you actually have. And if you don't have good tools, then go use the open source ones until you can figure out how to justify it. Yeah, I think that's another big one. So consolidation and actually more effective use of the technologies we have. Because I'd argue we got all the solutions we need. I pretty much so argue every single thing that we need to do our job properly and to safeguard the people and the people around us, we already have the solutions. We haven't just figured out how to implement the damn stuff properly.
So if I can, you did trigger another question or another thought. So what I see happening is that, you know, a lot of times when I'm asked, you know, people saying, are the defensive capabilities ever going to be able to leapfrog the offensive, meaning the adversary and their advanced attacks? And, you know, so far the answer to that clearly has been no. So what do you think it's going to take, you know, both from the public and the private sector? And I know that, you know, there's a lot of collaboration, identification of the 16 critical infrastructure, companies and organizations and marketplace in general. What do you think, you know, again, through your lens, that's going to help? And I don't know if it's ever going to be of where we'll be able to leapfrog it, but at least to get closer to, you know, obviously, what we see in terms of the malware that is being utilized, some of it is new, you know, or company or organizations, nefarious organizations like Black Hat and so on. But then you also have what I'm calling legacy malware that people are learning how to add a new spin or a new twist to it, basically a new functionality as if it were a product, and then they release it to the wild and it basically takes on a new variant, you know, like a virus, like coronavirus. So how do you, what do you think it's going to take, you know, to at least get close to being par, as close to being neutral?
The list is lengthy. That's a tough one because, I mean, so much of me, that's a tough one. And, because on one hand, you want to say it needs to come down from on high. I mean, on one hand, you want to say it needs to be legislation that says, hey, stop releasing shit that's got so many holes in it. You know, I don't see that happening. Or if it does happen, it's going to be so wrapped up in red tape and it's going to be so watered down. It's going to be non-useless. It's going to take 5 years to appear. I did kind of hold out hope with the DevSecOps community. The ability for the developers of stuff and the operators and us to work together more efficiently. It worries me that I feel like it's faltering, but that might just be a very, very personal perception. And that worries me. And I'd love somebody to counter that. It feels like it's faltered a bit, and it might just be because of the coronavirus thing, but it worries the hell out of me because that's just a simple collaboration.
Yeah.
The standard answer I normally give is we need to kill more people. And as terrible as that sounds, we literally, until we make it inconvenient for somebody to get to the keyboard without walking over grandma, grandpa's, or the kids' dead bodies, we won't take it serious. And to quantify that more effectively, it's unfortunately until the lights start to go out in certain places, or until we actually see a catastrophic. And then the problem is, it'll be a reaction, which means we're going to have more red tape and more compliance, and shit's not going to get fixed. I think it's we won't ever stop it. I think the biggest thing is how do we effectively recover? You know, I think the mean time to recovery is still some stupid amount of time. I mean, it's gone from like 30 to 70 to 90 to 100 and something bloody days or something before you realize that something's in. So culling that down is the biggest thing for me. That I think what I see would be a good improvement thing is from an attack occurring to actually understanding it and then effective recovery. You know, backups, knowing where your assets are, knowing what backups you've got, knowing what's going to kill the company. Simple stuff we should be answering on day one of a CISO's role, yeah. Let's face it. And I think if we actually focused on that rather than the blinky stuff, I think we'd be more effective. Better intel helps, better knowledge helps. Honestly, better coded products help, but better coded products only occur if operations and security and developers work together. So now we're back to the DevSecOps thing, collaboration. So I think it's a lot of it's going to come down to collaboration. It's IT, InfoSec, engineering, and everybody actually sitting at the same table going, hey, how do we do this more effectively? You know, you look at the billions of devices that are getting put in homes and getting put in small and medium businesses and large companies. We're not going to stop the flow. What we can better do is understand what's flowing and what the hell we need to do about it. I think those are the big things. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Okay. Thanks for sharing your perspective.
Yeah, no, totally. Thanks for the question. I love the question. It's tough because, you know, the default honestly is more dead bodies, which is a horrible way to think about things. But unfortunately, it comes down to humans. This all comes down to humans. How do we work together more? You got to kill a few more people to get more people to pay attention, which just sucks. Yeah.
All right, George, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, George. That was, yeah, I wouldn't say it was fun, but that was bloody good.
Yeah, that's a little bit morbid, but okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice question. Thanks, George. Take care. Okay. How do we follow up on such a?
But it's question? Reality. This is reality, and this is no different than the emails. We've taken technology has enabled so much amazing stuff. It enables you and I to talk together across continents.
Yeah.
But it's stripped the humanity away.
Yeah.
You know, tech has absolutely stripped the humanity away from us. And when that happens, we lose the perception. You know, Ryan says it perfectly, you know, analog humans with the digital world. And he's so right about it because we don't think the same way. It's a tough one.
It's funny because you mentioned Ryan and you talked about the business is critical. The business side is critical for the CISO these days. He and I were talking about that. We're working on a piece together over at a security studio, particularly for that piece, that opinion. Yeah. But it's bad Ryan can't join us today.
Yeah, I think it's huge. It's it's tough because again, it's. We wouldn't be in such a mess. You know, George had a perfect, you know, why, literally it was why are we in this mess? And it's because we haven't collaborated effectively. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do the best we can, but I would argue we haven't been effective enough. And maybe we've been effective amongst ourselves, among security people, but we haven't been effective as maybe we could be with other teams. And I find it, I mean, inside Boom, I mean, there's some teams that I can easily work with, and then certain teams that, you know, you've got to take a deep breath and go, okay, how do I approach this differently? Because what the approach isn't working, you know, what do we do? And so it behooves us to take that tech hat off and put the human hat back on again.
Mm. We have a lot of great questions coming in.
I'm seeing them, sorry.
15 minutes left. I've been inviting people to come on, but I'm going to start with, wow, we're going to have to answer these on the next one, but right. I'm going to go with Avi's. With Avi's question, because I think this is a critical question. We touched on this towards the end of last year. We all felt it. How do you suggest dealing with CISO fatigue? New cyber year, same cyber shit, sure. The volume de jour may change, but the challenge is largely the same.
Yeah, and it actually is. And it's in some ways, I'm actually going to open a document that I'm actually looking for. There we go, 23 projects. I'm not going to share it because this is proprietary information. Here's how I'm dealing with it. And I'm fortunate. I've got, so New Year happens. We've done planning as to basically what 2023 would look like. So inside the organization as a whole, we have taken the organization's got a couple of like key critical missions. Every year they're shifting, you know, we're getting ready for this, so what are we doing? And every single one of those missions is something that we should have to be, need to be, want to be supporting. And that's supporting from an organization standpoint. It's sorting specifically as well from a security standpoint. And so in some ways, the new year is a little bit of a reset to some of them. Now, some of them are continuing. So a perfect example, the ones that are continuing are obviously compliance. So, you know, Boom has achieved a level of compliance of X. We understand our risk. We understand where we are. We know what we have to do to get from here to get to here. Simple, simple steps. But there's other things that I've added in that are maybe a little bit more fanciful for that we're putting into the project list. So a perfect example is doing some more stuff with the avionics systems. Now, that's kind of cool. That's fun stuff. But you mix the mundane with research. So we have building work. So not only are we doing digital security, we're doing a lot more on the physical security side of things. So now I'm adding some things in which maybe the team hasn't experienced before, or the team hasn't had a chance to go out and physically break into shit. You know, we got lockpicks on the desk. Well, that's cool. Everybody's been doing some good stuff. Great. There's the building. Go break in. Go have some fun. Go tell me the 10 different ways you can break into it. And now what can we do about it? What can we work through with the business, with the facilities team over the next 12 months to actually change it? So it's a change in perspective and it's a change in focus. Does that mean that all the security issues of the day go away? No. Does that mean that things happen? No. The other thing I've put in place as well is we've taken a step back and trying to deal with less vendors. There's almost like a consolidation, for want of a better way of putting it. And we're doing some work on that. We're actually taking a step back and working a lot more with, there's a company, so Victoria runs it, called Kalidi. And it's actually really, really cool. It's almost a punch. She literally is the punching bag for the vendors. We go to her and we'll work with her on some projects. And then she's the one that's going out and getting the list of the vendors that she believes are the best ones to use. And we work with her on it. It's a great gatekeeper. It's not a traditional MSP, MSSP type of gatekeeper. It's very much a business. You know, she will integrate with those vendors and bring it in. So she gets her cut that way. I get to tell every vendor under the sun to go, hey, go deal with Victoria and her team. So I think, you know, it's recognizing there are issues and then it's going, what can we do about it? There's stuff out there. It's putting a bit of variety in that. The physical security is one. The avionics is another. You know, there's a few other things that we can deal with that maybe bring a level of intrigue and fun and something else. Daft as it sounds, even like awareness training, make it fun. Make it interesting. Don't do the same shit. You can actually have some fun with it. We're having fun with it. I'm actually having a little bit of fun with just doing different images, different fun things. How can I make something crazy that the users will actually have a bit of a laugh at? Another perfect example is we're doing like CISO hours, and we're also doing an Ask Us Anything hours. We're not going to do it in a vacuum. one of the amazing folks at Boom runs tea every Thursday afternoon. They run a tea session for like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. She literally does tea, and she's good. She's great. She is absolutely amazing. And so I asked her, could we actually integrate once a month with your tea time? Could we do questions and answers for security? Ask us anything. And she's like, absolutely. So it's integrating more. It's just finding different ways to do things. And the one thing that I am useless at, but I'm going to say it anyway, is step away. I am the worst. I'm getting better. I'm taking time. I'm taking my evenings back because I'm not doing the Hillbilly Hit Squad. I'm actually also stepping away from advising on a couple of things. So for me, it's stepping away and finding something that is not in this industry. And I've got to figure out what the hell that is yet. It used to be climbing, but it isn't. But it is literally like stepping away.
That's critical. Yeah, just knowing when to stop and slow down.
Oh, there we go. So yeah, the D&D podcast would have been a good
one. Nostalgia.
Yeah, no shit. I wonder, we'll figure something out.
Well, there's some way that we could figure out maybe some scenarios and plans.
It'd be cool to hang out with Josh and Rachel and the crew and something. Yeah, you know what? Okay, I'm going to use a business term. Let's table that for a conversation. Go scuba diving. Yeah, long conversation on that one, Christoph. Well, yeah, so step away from things, yeah.
I know I sent Christoph a link to join because he had a couple questions. Let's see, a CISO support group. Yeah, well, maybe.
They're out there. So that's the thing, they're out there. There's a bunch of that stuff out there. Alan, so we have it inside the Tinkerers. Every Friday, there's a group I have to join it, but like there are a couple of CISO support groups out there. I think they're needed, very much so needed.
All right. One more question. Christoph doesn't see. Christoph, do you see my messages, Christoph? Come on, Chris. All right. We have one. You know, we had a couple questions from Christoph. This is going to be an interesting one. We'll sign off with this one before we go into last thoughts. What's your perspective on the expansion of AI, like OpenAI and others?
I think in some ways I'm happy with it. I like the fact that we now have a more open capability to learn, to train, and to work with it. One of my biggest concerns with the various different institutions building their own AI models was the inherent biases that were being built into that. And it was not good, and there were some pretty piss poor examples of biases coming through in intelligent systems. If we can open the learning capabilities of a model to accept all of our inputs, then I think that's not bad. It could get scary. Let's face it, the couple that have ended up on Twitter over the years haven't exactly covered themselves in grace, shall we say. But it's inevitable. Let's be very, very frank about this. This is like having a discussion about bring your own device. Well, you know, it's a terrible thing to bring your own device. You know, 2 years later, there's 1,000 devices led by the CIO and then you freaking toy. So it's inevitable. Let's just be very, very frank about it. And so I would rather embrace it, understand it, learn how to work with it, learn how and what we can influence it in a positive way. And then also learn the barriers and learner issues, because that way we stand a better chance of actually integrating it effectively and not getting caught off guard by it. We'll see what happens. Time will tell. Will we end up with a robotic overlord? Probably in certain elements of our lives, but in all honesty, that's probably not a bad thing. Let's face it. As humans, we're pretty piss poor at managing ourselves. Chris.
Speaking of robotic overlords, I'd be interested on your proliferation of AI, OpenAI, Chow.
Yeah, we just talked a little bit about it. Yeah, we literally, as you were coming on, We were just talking a little bit about that. I think a brief summary of what I told everybody was it's not going away. So ignoring it's not going to help. Embracing it's something we need to do. Understanding it, integrating with it, working with it, learning the vulnerabilities, learning the extent and its barriers. I think it behooves us to be able to do it. I'm happier from an open architecture that we get to influence it more, pluses and minuses on that. But I'm also happy the fact that it's not learning model that it was, where it had so many inherent biases, it wasn't even funny. So I'm intrigued to see where it goes. I have a horrible feeling it's going to really, really get used for bad and for evil, just as much as we're going to use it for good or try to use it for good. So there's going to be a fight. And a lot of it comes down to the standard modeling side of it. What data is it pulling from? How often is it pulling from it? What model, what algorithm, what learning, what, you know, all of those other questions that we need to be asking any AI model that goes in. And I have literally a list of about 15 questions to ask any AI model. Mm. Uh-oh, did we lose him?
We lost Chris. We brought him in last minute, but we tried. But great insights on AI, OpenAI, love it. All right, we are headed towards the last 4 minutes. I want to save time for last thoughts. Anything you want to impart on the audience today?
I think it's a new, you know, it's, I think the one thing, you know, because I sat down and did on LinkedIn, I did a reflection. I did my, what the heck do you call those darn things? The first of the year.
Resolutions.
There we go. Thank you. Prophecies. I'm trying to figure out the word. I did a bunch of resolutions, and for the most part, they were very focused. They were very eye focused. Mm-hmm. I actually got rid of the comments. Somebody hit me, come on, go, oh, you haven't talked about charity much. I'm like, fuck off, because you don't know what I do behind the scenes. I do a lot of stuff on the charity, but whatever. They were very eye focused. And I think it behooves probably every single one of us to take a step back and go, you know, to a couple of the comments in on here is how do we look after ourselves a little bit more effectively? Mm-hmm. You know, how, because there is a ton going on. It's not going to slow down. It is going to be as painful as it was last year, if not more so. We have got a lot to do. How do we survive? You know, mm-hmm. How do we literally carve out, put a ring fence around it and call some time our time? You know, Christoph said, go scuba diving. Not a bad idea. You can't get hold of me when I'm underwater. Downside in Colorado is, you know, you've got to break through the ice first before you can go scuba diving, which actually isn't bad. It's actually a decent dry suit. But yeah, I think it behooves us all to take a step back and go, how are we going to look after ourselves during this time? Because it's going to be flipping busy.
Yeah, I'll echo that.
Hmm.
I'll echo that totally. I'd add on to that and just say that, and this is towards you as well. Reach out to your friendlies. We're all here.
Yeah.
Reach out to friendlies. Yeah. I know. Or we'll come break down doors.
Yeah, I got to. I need to, should do. I got to figure out how. That's the tough one. I'm not good at picking up phones.
Yeah. Well, you know, this forum is part of that mm-hmm. you know, support too. So I know that getting on the pods and talking to people and having weekly conversations with people has kept me sane. So thank you to everybody who's dealt with me. But let's keep it up. This has been absolutely wonderful to get back on WTF and keep it going. We've had about 40 people on, I think, live. Out of the 60 plus that have joined us. So thanks to the followers who have joined us weekly. I know we have a lot of loyal followers. Thank you. Thank you all mm-hmm. for asking your questions and being curious. That's the whole point of this, is being curious and asking for feedback. So,
yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for sorting it all out. I get the easy job. I just get to hang out. And yeah, I get to hang out.
This is fun. We might be doing some cool new things with WTF. So if you have feedback or ideas on what you'd like to see, let us know. You have my email, you know where we are on LinkedIn. You could ask us here on the live stream. You could also plug that in the comments. We are listening. So with that, This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are out.